At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Mavs friends, welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. This is Kirk Henderson and Josh Bowe. We're coming to you here on Tuesday night. It is June 16th. We're roughly 10 days before the NBA draft. It's about 8:30 p.m. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Anyone that is watching our podcast right now and not the NBA Finals is a certified sicko. Of course, multitask. I'm sure there might be some people doing both. But hey, if anyone's live, much appreciated. But otherwise, we're hanging in there.
Have you watched any of the finals?
Yeah, I've watched the finals.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a fair question to ask.
No. That is a totally fair question. No, I was not offended by that question.
It's been the game two was a blowout. But I've really liked games 1, 3, and 4. The fourth game was just a masterclass, and the first half was a real, like, if I'm a Pacers fan, the first half of that game is going to drive me crazy. The Pacers should have been up probably by double digits, and some really inexplicable bad foul calls.
I mean,
they're not that inexplicable if you pay any attention to this league, but I don't know. It's really something to me. I'm a little disappointed on behalf of the league, because, you know, it's we're heading into the Pacers are up by, I'm sorry, the Thunder up by like 10 to 15 right now, depending on what point of the game you're checking in. Here in game 5, they're playing back in Oklahoma. It's been a fun series, though. I would say overall the actual basketball, if you've watched these particular playoff series, we're going to have to eventually talk about this. Today is not necessarily specifically related to that, but watching these two teams play and then watching last year's finals, I'm very confused at where the Mavericks think they're going right now. So
you don't think Anthony Davis at the four is the answer to this problem that you're watching the NBA Finals? You don't think that's it?
Folks, what you just saw right there is Josh Bowe's teasing the second half of our show in a really well-done piece. But, it's been a mostly quiet week in Mavsdom. We talked Monday. I did not record a show Friday because I completely forgot. I had to go watch my son at, he has this friggin' traction brace on because of his broken elbow. and it's pretty cool technology, but he's not supposed to play. He can, like, you know, shoot around and he can do skill stuff. So I sent him to a basketball camp anyways, because the coaches were like, yeah, we won't let him play. And then I walk in there and of course he's playing. So real neat. But then I just kind of forgot. And so it's like, we didn't get to talk about, with any of our other friends that joined the show here, didn't get to talk about anything. And, you know, I think the kid news was later too. So it's been almost, let's see here. I feel like the kid news that he really wasn't going to be coach finally broke through after our show. Yes. That he wasn't going to, and it was like leaked. And then the next day, finally Shams Charania confirmed. And the Knicks are just kind of a mess, is really what it comes down to. They asked, you know, it saw some really good jokes about the fact that if your coach wasn't asked by the Knicks,
maybe, right.
Maybe you should be evaluating your coaching staff. I mean, do you have any extended, any kind of lingering thoughts from this? Because I kind of don't.
No, I mean, it kind of covers what we talked about. I think we both originally said this is more kid kind of getting his name out there instead of something serious. Like, I don't think either of us thought he would honestly be gone.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, and people don't really care about this, but like, it's just, you know, the Mavericks since February 1st on, it seems like their goal is to just, how can we annoy the fan base the most? Because this didn't need to be a week long story, but the Mavericks decided for it to be. And at the end of the day, nothing happened, so it's fine. We can move on. But for us, it's great. We get to talk about it. Like, that filled, what, like two shows that we wouldn't have really known what to talk about? Well, that's great for us. It's great for us to be able to talk about something at this dead point of the season right before the draft. And there's not much we can talk about the draft because the draft, you know, we know who they're picking. So we've been struggling of what to talk about some of these shows. And, you know, the Mavericks, by the grace of a higher power, have gave us this Jason Kidd story, even though we both kind of knew it was kind of bullshit. But yeah, I just don't really know what they're doing. You know, again, it's just, I don't understand why they felt like it was a good idea to have it in the press that their coach is flirting with another team for an entire week, but whatever, I guess it doesn't matter now.
Nope. And that's sort of where we are. And I'm, you know, unlike the Lakers pregame, news, I'm choosing not to react to it in any real way. I will say the only Cooper Flagg adjacent news that's come out is I think he's meeting with the team at some point this week. We'll probably hear about it after the fact. But New Balance is releasing some Cooper Flagg related merch, and it is so pricey. I was cackling. Like $75 t-shirts, $155 sweatshirts, like, look, late stage capitalism, yada, yada, yada. You have to slow walk people into buying stuff that expensive. And for me, I like New Balance stuff. It is dad core, but $75 is not dad core. Like, you've got to hook me with something a little simpler than this. But I don't know. I'm pretty sure I'm almost 100% positive. I don't care if I'm spoiling this for him. I'm pretty sure our homie Dalton Trigg at the Step Back podcast, which I think they may have to rename at some point, is doing merch where I think they might have a shirt that says in this house, we kneel for the crossover, but stand for the flag. And I hope they do, because it's preposterous. What else did we have here kind of in the range of news? It seems today, our friend, former boss, colleague, Tim Cato over at DLLS strongly implied that the Mavericks and Kyrie Irving are at a tentative agreement, depending on how other elements of free agency shake out. That makes all the sense in the world to me. We have not heard a peep about anything Kyrie related going anywhere, and it's full on rumor season. So whether or not you believe the specifics, and I do with what Tim was talking about today, I think the Mavericks will get Kyrie Irving back at a mid-ground between probably very, it really wouldn't shock me if it's not that dissimilar from his current deal. What do you have any like strong feelings on the matter from what we followed so far?
No, it sounds like, you know, just other than things other people have said, is I share the sentiment that it sounds like the Mavs are kind of working with Kyrie and setting up something that's like, hey, let us try to do some stuff and we will take care of you when it's over. And, you know, whatever we have left, you know, whatever, you know, obviously I'm sure there's a, we're not going to go lower than this number that they've agreed to, but it sounds like, you know, let us do some work to do what we want to do. And then when we're done, you know, we will give you what's left. And it sounds like that makes a lot of sense. Kyrie's, you know, going to be rehabbing for half of next season anyway.
And if things don't work out, they can move. They can then agree to move him to somewhere where he's happy. You know?
Yeah. It sounds like it's, we're going to just do what Kyrie wants to do. It kind of sounds like, and that's what I think both of us, I think we're on both on the same page. That's what they should do. If Kyrie wants to stay, regardless of what the roster looks like or what the Mavericks vision is going forward, that he should stay. I mean, the players love him. He's been nothing but a good example for the team. Been a good leader. You know, he's ticked every checked every box you want, which is just, you know, shocking when you consider where he was after Boston and where he was after Brooklyn, that we're at this point now where it's like you want Kyrie to be your elder statesman on the roster, but that's kind of where they're at right now. So they should just go to Kyrie and be like, hey, what do you want to do? You want to stay? Okay, well, this is what we're going to do, and we'll sign you. We'll take care of you. And if Kyrie, I don't think Kyrie wants to leave, but if he did, then they should let him leave. But I don't think he wants to. So I have to imagine that he'll be back at a number, like you said, not too dissimilar than what he was getting paid. Probably that option number, maybe a little bit lower, but you lock in 3 more years to get that guaranteed money.
Yeah. Well, and my sort of situation with Kyrie, considering where I was when they traded for him, is I have just sort of settled on whatever will be, I've liked the Kyrie experience. I hope he opts to stay, but if they want something different and he wants something different, I feel given the Mavericks cap situation, it just makes sense to do whatever he wants and figure it out later. You know, you can't lose him for nothing. They're not going to lose him for nothing. So just kind of operate from there. So then we have a couple more comments in the chat that are actually really worth addressing. Swisher Sweet in the chat says, you know, didn't I read that the Knicks aren't done dealing with Kid? The Mavs can decline. Kid can leave if he wants. To me, this all came across that the Mavs were shutting it down, but the Knicks weren't done talking with Jason. I actually agree with that. And so I will just simply say that, like, I can't totally put away the notion that there's going to be some like WWF, WCW style chicanery with Kid, you know, where he shows up in like the Knicks press conference at some point. It's far fetched, but I simply can't fully rule it out until the Knicks have a coach. The fact that Kid was interested by lots of sources does mean something, but he's still under contract and the Knicks just don't have enough to trade. So that's at least where I'm sitting at the moment. I thought that was a pretty good comment. And then, you know, my buddy Jose mentioned just how many different Mavericks assistant coaches are up for gigs. The Mavericks have so many assistant coaches, it doesn't really bother me. I think losing Sweeney would be kind of a fast track to the kid to the season getting off to
a
rough start.
They're kind of tied to the hip.
Yeah.
That's his guy.
But, you know, I'm not – Jared Dudley is a former player, and I think he's well-liked, but no one's ever been able to properly contextualize what his actual role is, because the Mavericks just have, like, they have 9 or 10 assistant coaches. And I'm sure there is some value in being, like, vet coach who can relay game plan stuff and be different, but it's like that's also Jason Kidd. So – you know, I'm kind of okay with any of these things. I think there's enough prospective coaches. There's a lot of coaching talent in the league. That's another one where I'm interested to follow it, but I don't think it moves the needle for the Mavericks.
What, you don't think Jay Triano is going to bring a title to Dallas as assistant coach? You don't think?
But it's an interesting. It was an interesting signing. It was interesting.
No, he's a veteran assistant coach. Yeah. I mean, and you don't bring him in unless someone's going to go, right? Because he's a veteran coach. So I would imagine that probably is an indicator that one of their bench guys is probably going to move on to a different opportunity.
And then we have from Swisher Sweet again. He says, can we touch on any of the point guard updates? Russ, any other rumors? So the rumors involving Russ were really, it was a betting line. And like, yeah, those things aren't real. We get emailed them. They're not bettable at sportsbooks. They're just generation for generation's sake. None of them ever really make sense. I will say from just an optics point of view, like there is nothing that would make the season go to hell faster than Russell Westbrook on these Dallas Mavericks. Like I almost want to see it for pure chaos, but I don't think he would be like, I don't think he's a big Anthony Davis fan. Davis and LeBron wanted his butt out of Los Angeles when he got sent to the Clippers. Like that doesn't strike me as a thing that's happening. From a basketball point of view, it would just be pure hilarity.
It'd be fun. I don't really have much else to add than it.
Would it be fun or would it be a lot? Like I don't know.
Depends on what your expectations are for this Mavericks season.
That's fair.
Think they're going to be a title contender, the Russ experience might not be that fun. But if you're just like whatever. He could interject some madness into the, you know, a boring Wednesday December game against the Atlanta Hawks or something like that.
I will say I saw it wasn't Mavericks affiliated, but I saw like a Malcolm Brogdon landing spots place. And that is the kind of point guard I think the Mavericks end up with.
Maybe not Brogdon. So he fits the culture.
But he also was with Kidd once. And what's particularly funny about this is that my understanding is that he and Kidd just didn't connect the first time around. So it would be classic NBA coach stuff to want a player that you already had and didn't like. But it's just like, that's the kind of guy that the Mavericks they're going to have to get someone who's
stopgap.
Yeah. That's all it really ends up being. And then, Adam Ferris asks, this is a good one. He's like, can we discuss the insane Desmond Bane trade? And the four first rounders is a little bit mythical. I will say that the first rounder that they are getting from the Suns is pretty good, meaning the Memphis Grizzlies.
But it's also tied up in a lot of weird NBA
BS
in terms of rights and swaps and protections. So
I kind of sarcastically, everybody took me seriously, tweeted like fire Nico upon the trade, but it's like this trade haul, call it what you will, just shows what you can get when you keep asking for more in a trade. Like the Memphis Grizzlies got a lot for Bane. Now, whether that a lot is going to amount to anything is a bit of a high risk gamble because it's mostly picks and KCP's pretty bad contract. It's something.
I tweeted about it and then people gave me, I kind of got a lot of reactions to it about like, The easy thing to do is you look and you see Bane got traded for one pick and Luka got or Bane got traded for four picks and Luka got traded for one pick. And you just want to joke and you want to be like, what the hell? Like, how did Desmond Bane get more for Luka? And it's like completely ignoring the fact that, like, I'm not even an Anthony Davis guy.
No, but that's like it's still, Anthony Davis.
He's part of the trade. Yeah, like he's still part of this in terms of the value. Now, is he worth four first round picks right now or three? It would take if they traded him. They would need to get three first round picks for him to match the four total. You know, if we're trying to do the math, I don't know now because his trade value is probably the lowest it's ever been, considering he came off a season where he barely played and he was really gimpy and he's getting older. Like he really needed to finish the season strong, I think, to rebuild his trade value a little bit. So maybe not right now, but at the time they traded for him, he was having a good season and he had a good season the season before that. Like he is an all NBA level player. Like there's a very good chance that none of the draft picks the Grizzlies
get
will be as good as Anthony Davis was as a player. Not total, just last season Anthony Davis. Like whatever you think of however good a player last season's Anthony Davis is, the Grizzlies might not draft a player that could produce that kind of production for one season.
Yep. I mean, the annoying part for me, though, is that Memphis has been really, really good at drafting.
No, I know. and it wasn't me trying to defend the trade. It was more just like we can't compare every future trade to the Luka trade. Like
that's right.
Because the Luka because the Luka trade was bad on it. Like we don't have to compare it to other trades to talk about how bad it is. Like
that's right.
It was bad. Like they needed to get more. And your point is well spoken, where you talk about this is what you can get if you you ask for more. Like, mm-hmm. if you don't just say, oh, I'm good.
I mean, the Mavericks, like, I really earnestly think that if the Mavericks had gotten Austin Reeves and the 2031 pick from the Los Angeles Lakers, this part, and they had ended up with Cooper Flagg, where the fan base was by the end of the season would have sharply declined. There's still a lot, like, there's still so many people that are, the Mavericks are dead to rights to. Like, it's, and I don't want to circle back to that part of it, but it's just, that's the part of the trade, much like Luka for AD is one part, and that is kind of a more spiritual level thing.
Yeah, like there's some people that it wouldn't have mattered what the haul was. If you trade,
that's right,
you're dead.
From a transactional point of view, yeah. It's just very simple that the Mavericks didn't get enough for Luka. Like, that's right. An okay thing to say. And that's really, and maybe, you know, but understanding that, and I think maybe we do talk about this in the second half of the podcast, I just have to know if Anthony Davis is ever in consideration for trade stuff with the Mavericks, because what could you get for him? Like, if you could get this for Bane, which we understand is a little bit of an overrated look when you see it on first glance, it's not that great. It's a risk, but could, you know,
could you get a starting capable guard and two first round picks?
That's, that's what, yes. Yeah. That, and I think that, and it's just, it's sort of maddening because we like to have the discussion because it's fun, but we really know it's just not happening. It will eventually happen. Like, make no mistake, the Dallas Mavericks will eventually trade Anthony Davis. He is not finishing out a 3-year.
Or they let him go. You know,
right.
They just let
but him finish. See, I just said,
you don't think he gets to the end of his next contract?
No, it's $183 million or whatever it is. You got to get something for that. And like, trading him to a contender, since apparently the Mavericks went from being, you know, no clutch players to many clutch players, I just think that matters over time. I think they'll want to, quote, do right by him. And the part that'll make me mad is it'll happen a year and a half too late. Because I just wonder what you could get from him right now. I really do. Like, if the Spurs can't get Kevin Durant, I'm stuck on this. Can you get, like, the second, you know, one of their players who you don't mind? Like is De'Aaron Fox available? I don't know. Like what could you do? I'm legitimately interested in these sorts of things, and they're not, and we can't even realistically have those discussions because it's not gonna happen. So
he's probably their best outside of Flag, obviously. Like, he's probably their best trade, because the thing I've noticed is fans are trying to, you know, they've got the logjam, you're trying to fix things. And I feel like you just don't get enough. Like, okay, you can trade Gafford, but is that fixing the roster imbalance? You can trade PJ. Are you going to get enough for PJ? Are you going to get enough for Derek Lively? Or do you even want to trade Lively? Like, you can try, maybe you trade Klay Thompson, but does he want to be, you know, like AD, it feels like you could get something substantial for him and clear the way for Cooper, clear the way for your younger players. But all, you know, they want to win. I mean, now, and of course, you know, if they just play him at the five, it would solve a lot of this. But that's why we talk about it, because I think it was Brian was tweeting this with another person, was one of our longtime followers. I'm trying to find it. I can't find it right now, but they were talking, I think, in my mentions or somewhere about, like, well, what would you do? And it was because Bobby Corrala at DLLS today said he would trade Daniel Gafford, PJ Washington, and two firsts for New Orleans' Trey Murphy. And I think that riled some people up, because that is a lot for a really, really good young player who I think is awesome, but has also been hurt. And mm-hmm. you know, PJ and Gafford are part of that finals team. Like, there's a lot of sentimentality there. And, you know, you're trading two first round, like, you're kind of emptying the wagon for him. And so I saw, again, I think it was Brian and another follower, my mentions, was like, okay, well, what if you did that? And then what if you traded AD to Chicago for Colby White and picks and a lot of other stuff? So now your starting five is Colby White, Clay, Cooper, Trey Murphy, Derek Lively, and you've got a bunch of firsts now, because not a bunch, but you got
firsts. You're in a different place than you were. Like,
and I was like, that's actually interesting. And you could sell me on it because Anthony Davis is from Chicago. So you talk to Rich Paul and you're like, hey, would you guys be interested in, you know, going back home? And you can do, you know, here's the money opportunities if you do that. Like, this can be your franchise, because you're going to have to sell it. You know, you're not sending AD, I don't know, like to Washington or Charlotte. Yeah. Like, you know, you don't want to send him somewhere he doesn't want to go, because it wasn't his fault he got traded to Dallas and this situation blew up. It was not his fault.
Nope.
Even if I'm not a big AD guy, there's no blame on him for where the team is, even if, you know, I think he could have, you know, I don't want to get into how he played in the play-in games, but that's neither here nor there. But that actually, like, you know, like I could see the vision. Okay. Like, you know, AD to Chicago, get Colby White, get a young, yeah, who said maybe get
I want to talk about that thing in a second, then we'll cut to our quick break. Okay. Finish your thought.
No, I was just like, it was the first AD trade that didn't feel like wish cast, you know. I mean, it's all wish casting, but it was the first one to be like, okay, I can actually see Davis maybe buying into this and giving Nico an out, because you can sell it on, hey, he's coming home and yada yada yada, but whatever. So,
well, there's so many other great things we could talk about at length. Like our friend of the show, Bobby Corella, went on a 90-second, I don't even know what to call it. Tirade's not the right word, because he was very positive. He made a case for trading everything the Mavericks had for Trey Murphy.
That's what I just said.
And it's incredible.
Yeah,
it's incredible. I don't know how to discuss it further, because I just don't know enough about Trey Murphy. And I loved,
he's really good.
But the challenging part is, like, Bobby doesn't talk like that. So for Bobby to say that is truly fascinating to me. That's actually my holdup. The last piece of news I think we could discuss is Rafael Barlow of NBA Big Board. He put on his podcast from yesterday that he understands the Mavericks are trying to trade back into the first round. Don't know how that would work. The Mavericks don't really have, I don't see how, just flat out don't see how, unless
that's if, well, I mean, that's a part of a, you know, what if, are you trading Gafford, PJ, you trading your, you know, for a player and a pick or something like that? Like, yep. So, yeah.
Well, and just before we cut to break here real quick,
look at the last comment.
Long time listener of the show, proud vet, in the comments says, what if Cooper becomes an overhyped Modest Buzelis? And I, first of all, like, Buzelis probably should have gone in like the top three. Like, he's kind of awesome.
Yeah, he's kind of awesome.
I don't know. Like, that'll probably be a discussion point for Flag later. I don't know. I want to know what I want to be. I want to think about this before we talk about it. But Cooper Flag's floor versus ceiling is a fascinating conversation. Because I will simply put it to people like this. If you hated watching Luka Doncic play, like if he made you angry with some of the things that he did, then Cooper Flag is going to be your version of Pepto-Bismol for basketball. Like, he's going to assuage. He's
the opposite of all that.
Just in very different, defense-first-minded guy, offense evolving. There's so much to him that I really don't know. I don't feel comfortable putting a cap on him. Whereas when we got Luka, I was so freaking excited because I believed him to be a generational player. I thought he would be an all NBA player by the time he was like 24 or 25. Instead, he was an all NBA player by the time he was 20. And that's kind of the overarching, you know, the light, like, but Flag is truly unique. And like you said something today in Slack, which made me laugh, where it hadn't dawned on you that a white American superstar was coming to the Mavericks.
Well, it's not just that, but his name is Cooper Flag.
Yeah, it's like he was made in a basketball laboratory. It's nuts.
It's like they pulled the perfect basketball player out of every 60-year-old white dad. That's mad about the way these kids play basketball nowadays.
That's right. And he's the anti that as well.
Yes,
I can't wait. We have 10 days till we'll really get to talk more about him in earnest.
Yep.
If you missed the show I did with J. Kyle Mann around the lottery, so we're talking almost a month ago, go back and find that. Because J. Kyle,
excited all
like he, like I came out, I was pretty excited beforehand. RK asks, is he a superstar? Not much hype around his name, or am I mistaken? Mm-hmm. I will say that he has not generated, if it depends on if you're local, RK. The Mavericks winning the lottery has not moved the needle locally. Like, people don't really seem to care. I will say amongst the basketball heads, he is a superstar because he has been on everyone's radar since he was like 14. He went to the Olympic national team's mini camp last summer and played with all the guys who went and won a gold in Paris. And to a man, every one of them had something good to say about him and that he played very well. He was 17. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, he is in that Anthony Davis, Zion tier of
college player. Like,
mm-hmm. Absolute no doubter, number one overall pick. This is not one of those years where you, like, you know, like last year's draft where you didn't really know who would go number one because it was such a weird draft.
That's right.
Like, he's a guy you tank for. Like, and teams did, by the way, blatantly trying, you know.
Yep.
You know, a lot of teams try to do what the Mavs did. Well, the Mavericks did it kind of naturally, but, you know.
Well, I'll put it to you like this, RK. First of all, thank you for watching the show and joining a show in the middle of June. I think you're going to love watching him play, but it is going to be a very different experience than what we've had in Dallas for a long time.
Yeah, he's not a table setter, so he's not going to be, you know, huge usage, taking over, you know, having 35 point games like Luka did so early on. But it's a different, you know, it's a different type of ceiling. Because he might be more of a defensive, you know, defensive version of Luka, so to speak. Like, think of all the things Luka was good at and bad at, and you almost kind of flip-flop them for flag.
I know.
But like, to the elite tier, you know.
Like, the funny part is, and like, this is just facts because Luka pairs well with anybody, but like, they would have been incredible. Like, peanut butter and jelly kind of guys together. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break.
Wait, before you go to break, look at this comment, because I've been saying Colby White. I've been calling Colby White all night. Sorry, Kobe.
I didn't even notice.
I had mac and cheese for dinner tonight, so maybe that's why.
Oh, man. All right. So we're going to go to a break here on the audio feed. I apologize. We have to insert more ads. It's our boss company instructing us to do so. Also, if you could just take the 90 seconds to listen to that, that legitimately helps Josh and I. That's one of the way we make money. I keep meaning to put like a tip jar down, so if people want to do that sort of thing, but you know, just haven't gotten around to it because if Josh occasionally calls him lazy and I'm like, Josh, you're not lazy. I am actually the lazy one, but we'll get to that. We'll be right back. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota. Let's go places.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Okay, welcome back to Pod Maverick. If you haven't subscribed to the show, please do so. You can do that through all of your various podcast platforms. Join us here on Pod Maverick on YouTube. We occasionally host live shows. I also don't know if I'm going to be able to do one this Friday because I have both my children for like six. Starting Friday, I think I have my children 6 days in a row while my wife is on a work trip. So I just don't know what I'm going to be able to get away for. So I make no promises, but if I do one on Friday, I will be sure to post it a little bit in advance. Okay, so now we're half an hour into the show. So we really know that if you're listening to the show at this point, you are a hardcore fan, and we value you. And we want to have a discussion, or really Josh is going to instruct us on some things that I want you to take with an open mind and an open heart, because I think this is the sort of thing that as we get closer to the season, if we have our way with this, this is going to be a broad discussion point within the Mavericks community. Not that we can affect anything, but just I think it's we owe it to people to have this conversation about Anthony Davis and his insistence on playing the four. Josh, why don't you take us away?
Yeah, so it seems like that's where the Mavericks are going. We watched what they did last season. Anthony Davis has said on the record, he said in an interview, I think, with ESPN right before the trade deadline, that he was like, the Lakers need to get a center because they want a title with.
And we kind of think that's why he might have gotten moved.
Yeah, because I think Jeannie Buss had some very, she didn't mention him by name, but there were some comments that came from Lakers leadership after the deadline that was kind of like, you know what? Why don't you just we don't want players to kind of play their best position, something like that. I don't know, but it sounded like they're taking shots at AD a little bit on the way out. But yeah. He wants, it's been a thing forever for him. He doesn't want to play center. He wants to play the four. It's only been reinforced when he won a title in Los Angeles, when they had either, they kind of had a platoon of Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee at center, you know, which kind of covers up the fact that like Davis closed almost all of those playoff games at the five, and Howard and JaVale McGee did not play a ton of minutes in the playoffs. I mean, they were still important. Like those guys actually helped, and those lineups weren't terrible. I think they were still positive with Davis and then either Howard or McGee, but they were just outrageously better with Davis at the five during that playoff run. And so the Mavericks are probably going to do this. We have to talk about the roster as it is. We know it's going to change. It's going to change. They're going to make a trade some way or the other, but we think even with a trade, they're still going to be having AD at the four. And it's just, I see some of the allure in looking at how the league is going and saying, okay, well, what if we did like zigging while teams zag or zagging while other teams zig and being like, if all these teams are going to go small and shoot threes, what if we just built the biggest fucking team ever and we killed teams on the glass and in the paint and no one scored at the rim against us and we just bullied teams with our superior size and athleticism?
What if and we built the whole plane out of black box?
Yeah, pretty much. And you could see some of that even in the Mavericks 2024, you know, without Anthony Davis. There were some games in that playoff run where they beat the hell out of the other team. Like that Clippers series, it looked like it was a team of 70-year-olds playing against high schoolers. Like, like they ran that Clippers team off the floor, which kind of led to Paul George, you know, going to Philadelphia. Like they made that Clippers team look ancient.
Yep.
With their athleticism and some of their size. And they did that to OKC a little bit too. They kind of stuffed Chet in the locker, PJ and Gafford and Lively, because Chet probably wasn't ready yet. And so you could see it, but like they did that. Like the thing about the Mavericks, like PJ played the four and he was able to play really, you know, big physical defense at the rim. He was a really good rim protector for them, but he could also, you know, make 35-38% of his threes.
That's right.
And 80 at the four, if he wants to play the four, here, I guess I'll just say this again. He can play the four. He cannot shoot as many jumpers as he's shooting. And I know that like you need your four man to shoot jumpers. But my thing is okay, you're going to play the four, lean into what you're good at if you're going to play the four with another center. And don't just pretend to be Dirk Nowitzki while you play those minutes at the four, because I don't think that's going to work either. And I'm just looking at it. Okay, this past season, he shot 42.5% on mid-range jumpers. That's including his time with the Lakers and the Mavericks. That is by far one of the highest marks he's had in forever. Because I've got the numbers pulled up. I'm going to write about this later. 2024, he shot 38.9% on mid-range jumpers.
Define mid-range.
Mid-range is basically not paint, not three-pointers, according to the NBA. So
Okay. Anywhere
that's outside of the paint and anywhere that's inside the three-point line. So that's what it is.
About how often he got the ball in that position.
Yeah.
Just visualize it. Now, it's worth the caveat of Lakers fans keep telling me he needs a downhill guard. That's fair. So you get the Kyrie Irving pairing. The problem is Kyrie Irving is hurt. Go ahead.
All right. So that's a whole nother. I mean, that's even if he doesn't shoot, they still need that for him. Mm-hmm. But like, just look. Yeah. So, 2024, where was I at? 2024, he shot 38.9% on mid-rangers. 2023, he shot 40.6. 2022, he shot 36.9% on mid-rangers. 2021, he shot 34.8%. 2020, the bubble, the year they won the title, he still shot 35% on mid-rangers. He just hit more threes. He shot much better on threes in the playoffs. And then the season before that, so 2019, 35.5% on mid-rangers. 2018, 36.4, and the season before that. No, I don't have that. That's about it. That's as far back as I'm going right now.
Sure.
You look at, like, let's look at one of Dirk's MVP season. I know you don't want to compare him to Dirk.
No, I think you have to. You have to give people within the Mavericks organization that said he reminds them of Dirk, and I'm like, how?
But you just have to, like, the context here. Dirk in 2006, when he won his MVP season, he shot 48.2% on mid-rangers. You want to contextualize it. Let's look at last season on the guys that took the most most mid-range attempts per game. DeMar DeRozan led the league in mid-rangers per game. He shot 45.8%. Brandon Ingram, 45.5%. Paolo Banchero, he was third in per game mid-range attempts. He was 41.7%, so Davis was actually above him last season. But you need to be between like 42, anything like above 42 and 43 on mid-range. That's like acceptable if you want to take them at volume. If you're like generated, those are self-generated looks mostly.
Right.
If you're below that number, it's just not good. And Davis is routinely 35, 36, 37% on mid-rangers. Like, it's just not good enough. And then you double that with the fact that he can't hit threes. And he's never been able to hit threes except for, you know, the bubble season and maybe a couple of seasons in LA. But even those seasons in LA, he was at like 34% on like three per game. Like, that's not enough. That's not a high enough percentage at that volume to matter. It's just not good. It's not good to be that good, you know, to shoot as much as he shoots and be that poorly. It just doesn't work. So, like, if they're going to play him at the four, we need to start talking about, okay, he can't shoot. But if you're going to do this, what can you do? You can do more big pick and rolls. You can try some stuff where these guys are doing some high-low action and moving some different spots around on the floor, but it's just really tough because the spacing is going to be constrained. If you have a non-shooting big next to Anthony Davis and then Davis is playing the traditional four spot, I don't see a path to a good offensive team, and I don't see the vision there, you know, unless they, even if they get, let's say they get a Kobe White, if Davis is still playing the four, I don't see the path. I don't see the path to them being a good offense, and you need to be a good offense to make the playoffs and win a title. I don't care how good your defense is. We just saw the Orlando Magic had an awesome defense. They did not win a playoff series. They won 41 games because they couldn't shoot threes and they had terrible spacing. Same thing could happen to the Mavericks. They might have an awesome defense. They might be able to get 6, 7, 8 seed because they could definitely roll through some teams that are not prepared for them. But if you cannot space the floor adequately, it's really hard. And I think that, you know, there might be some ways for them to do it, but I can't see Anthony Davis for doing Dirk Nowitzki impressions again, because he shot so many jumpers with the Mavs. So many jumpers.
And his only good games offensively, I mean, granted, we need to at least be upfront about the fact that his defense was also bad with the Mavericks, but I'm willing to say the ab injury affected that. And we're hopeful that he's well enough to start the season, yada, yada, yada. I'm willing to understand that they were trying to build a defensive first team. You still have to score baskets. And right now, this team is extraordinarily jump shot heavy. They don't have anyone who can get to the basket. Now, interestingly, I actually like Davis's game off the dribble, but he,
yeah, I love his mid post face up when he drives for hard first dribble. That stuff's awesome.
Doesn't like that though. And you know why, you know how I can say that with authority, guys, he doesn't do a lot of it. He just doesn't. I believe he is a player who is tough as nails, who gets hurt a lot. That's how I feel about him. And as a result, I don't think he can physically afford to play the game that would actually be the best for him in terms of putting up more efficient numbers, which is why he has to settle for this stuff. It's just going to be weird. And that's where, you know, we're sitting here in the first half of the show wondering what the Mavericks could get for him in a trade, because he is really, like, he showed next to LeBron James, he is an outstanding co-star. And you can live with inefficient offense from your secondary star. We saw with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. The problem is he's now once again being thrust back into the 1A option, and that's not who he is. It's not who he can be. He's going to have games, guys, where we come in here and we're like, Anthony Davis has incredible, like, he'll have like 5 games in a row where he averages like 34 points on 62% shooting. Yep. Not kidding. And then he'll have 12 games where he averages 37% from the floor. Like, it's rough. I'm exaggerating.
It all goes back to his jump, because how many jumpers he takes.
And there's a little bit of exaggeration going on, but if you don't believe me, go look at his box scores. His averages start to really make sense, because you're like, I sit here and I'm like, how did that guy average 25 and 12 with the Lakers? And you're like, oh, okay. Then you go look at the box stuff. It's nuts.
Yeah. And like I said, he's a good enough passer that, and the Mavericks experiment, you know, you saw some of this, you saw it in small bursts. He's a good enough passer, and Lively and Gafford are good finishers and they're good off ball movers. You could do some funky stuff. Like, again, do some big, big pick and rolls, let Davis be a ball handler in the pick and roll, have him catch the ball at the nail, have Lively or Gafford set a screen at the free throw line, try to jumble up the defenses that way. Do stuff like that. Have Derek Lively be a dribble handoff hub at the free throw line when Davis is in the dunker spot. Just try to mix things up that way. They could do stuff like that. But it's just like in the regular season, it's hard. This is not a criticism of the Mavericks or the coaching staff or the way they do things. It is hard in the NBA to get super creative in the regular season because it is so long and there are no days off. There are no practices. You basically have to get in what you want to get in training camp in terms of turning into what team you want to be. And then you kind of, when the season starts, it's like, okay, it's kind of like maintenance once the season starts, because there's just not enough time to practice with the way these games just keep coming and coming and coming and coming. And there's not enough time to scout and not enough time to specify. That's why it feels like the regular season and the playoffs are two completely different sports. So I just worry if you have to be really creative, I think, to get the most out of Davis at the four with a non-shooting five. And I don't know if the NBA regular season allows for that much creativity. You have to be able to rely on stuff, like fall back on kind of some standard stuff. And it's hard to do that. And that's why I think Davis ends up shooting as many jumpers as he does, because it's like, you know, you're on your second night of a back-to-back, or, you know, you're on your third game in 4 nights or whatever it is. And like, you know, sometimes you're tired, you don't want to run plays. So what's he going to do? He's going to be at the 3-point line drifting, 'cause there's a center, in the paint. So he can't be in the paint on offense. That's why it's just really tough. Like, I think in a playoff series, if you have time to scout, you could draw some stuff up. You could work on some stuff where you're like, okay, let's do this. But during a long regular season, when you don't have that opportunity to do it, it's just harder to. They're trying to play with one arm tied behind their back. Like, why make it that hard?
And the reason we wanted to have this discussion before the draft is because I actually think Cooper Flagg's natural position is the four, though he's talked about, or we've understood that he wants to play the three, et cetera, et cetera. PJ Washington's best position is the four. The Mavericks just have a little bit of a log jam, and AD wanting to play the four creates all these roster problems that you then have to fix. And right. One of our former staffer Matthew held a belief that frankly can be backed up with a pretty good amount of data, is that like Anthony Davis's defense is not good enough to justify all the shifting around on offense. And he's an all NBA caliber player. That's how much him playing four can impact your offense. It's just going to be tricky to see what they do here, because even when the Mavericks shift roster spots, because we've already talked about this, they're going to make moves, they're going to make changes. Him playing the four is a problem that just doesn't seem solvable with creativity. Not enough to impact a team that has title expectations for whatever reason.
And it's just a shame, because like you said, it's so like if he plays the five,
mm-hmm.
everything trickles down to where it is. You could play PJ at the four, you could play Cooper at the three. Like Cooper at the three is fine. You could still, you know, you trade Gafford for whatever you can get. Now the thing that sucks is, you know, you probably have to bring Lively off the bench, or you're reducing Lively's role maybe on the team. Maybe he doesn't close as many games as you want, considering where he was when you ended the 2024 season, where me and you thought he was, you know, a building block. And, you know, I don't know if you think that's a step back, but at least you have minutes there. So Davis isn't playing like 35 minutes at the five all game. Like, you could still play some double big minutes, but you just, it doesn't have to be your identity.
Yeah.
I feel like they want it to be their identity, because I feel like they just want to, they see what other teams are doing and they want to do something different. And I kind of admire that in a way. Like, I wish it could work. And if they do it, like, we need to give it a, you know, let's just see what it looks like maybe for a little bit more if he's healthy. But it's just hard with the rest of the way the roster is. Like, you could just, everything would just slot in so much more if the majority of Davis's minutes were played at the five with the rest of the way the roster is working out.
Yeah. And it's going to be probably the number one. Number one's not accurate. It's probably just it's the lingering background story for all things Mavericks as we head in and through the season and into the regular season, because it's as we talked in the first part of the show, the Mavericks aren't trading Anthony Davis. The Mavericks also, and this is pretty important, they're not going to make him play the five. They're just not. And that is, that's the kind of leverage that it's not that he has it. It's more so that, like, this is the bed they've chosen to make. Like, they knew he wanted to play four. They must have been okay with it. But what I find so fascinating is it's just like the data that you're talking about is well known. Everyone knows he should play the five. He doesn't want to. So that's just, yeah, Kevin Gray. Shout out Kevin Gray Sports of DLLS is in the chat, and he says they want to be the Cavs so bad. And you know what the Cavs have that the Mavericks don't? A shit ton of awesome 3-point shooters. So not really sure. I don't know. It's it's a frustrating situation.
And they still lost in the second round, by the way. So it's like, you know, they didn't win a title. They didn't get to the conference finals. They didn't get to the NBA finals.
Well, let's close it up unless we have anything else. Can you think of anything?
No, I'm good. Wow, 50 minutes. We did it.
And it would have been shorter, but we had some good questions from the chat, which I very much appreciate. I will say there's been some good stuff on Mavs Moneyball the last week or so. Depending on if you need 4,000 words to read, our man Brent wrote a little something. We have a series that our guy Michael's put up called Love 'Em or Leave 'Em, you know, talking about whether you want certain guys to stay with the Mavericks or not if you had a choice. Tyler Edsel wrote about what he thinks that the back half of the NBA draft has never been less valuable and why the Mavericks should capitalize on it. Kind of goes to speak of what Rafael Barlow mentioned on his show today. I will say, just like, the more I love the fact that the Mavericks are getting flagged, but I also love reading about other top prospects, and there's some fun guys this year. It's great. It's great.
Yeah, it's okay. A fun draft.
Yeah, well, and maybe, you know, maybe we'll get surprised with a little more on draft night where we actually have something to talk about, but who knows? I think our schedule this week will be a little bit light. It's okay. I'll try to do something Friday. I don't know. It's just you got our friends at DLLS Mavs. I'm sure Kevin can attest to this. Our friends at Locked On Mavs. Putting together a regular show when there is no basketball becomes increasingly hard. And I have some tricks that I want to pull out in the middle of August that I just can't do in June. I want to save those for when we truly have nothing. When we truly have nothing. Let's check out on this final score went right now. Okay, the Pacers are now within 8. Might have to go turn this ball game on. Everybody, you have yourselves a great rest of the week. Thank you so much for spending time with Pod Maverick. We will talk soon, and go Mavs.
Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.